This episode is brought to you by Coinbase Institutional, the first choice of sophisticated investors and institutions that want to invest in crypto assets. As the only publicly traded company with experience trading and custodying digital assets at scale, over 11,000 clients use Coinbase products like Prime and Exchange. Coinbase also recently announced that they're on the path to launching derivatives. Invest in the most trusted name in crypto. Learn more at coinbase.com/institutional.
Here's your money briefing for Tuesday, May 10th. I'm Trinae Nuri for The Wall Street Journal, filling in for J.R. Whalen. Identity theft is becoming a lot more common. Last year, the Federal Trade Commission received nearly 1.4 million reports of identity theft, double from 2019. That means more people may be thinking about paying for services that help monitor for any issues, protect against them, and clean things up if their personal information gets stolen. But are those services worth it?
People generally can clean their own houses, but some don't have the time, don't enjoy doing it, and can afford not to. And that's really what you might want to think about when it comes to credit monitoring. It's not that you can't do it on your own, but the question is are you going to, do you want to put that time in to do it?
Coming up, WSJ contributor Cheryl Winnegar-Monk goes through the questions you should ask before dishing out money for identity theft protection. That's after the break.
This episode is brought to you by Coinbase Institutional, the first choice of sophisticated investors and institutions that want to invest in crypto assets. As the only publicly traded company with experience trading and custodying digital assets at scale, over 11,000 clients use Coinbase products like Prime and Exchange. Coinbase also recently announced that they're on the path to launching derivatives. Invest in the most trusted name in crypto. Learn more at coinbase.com/institutional.
Is keeping your personal information safe worth paying for? There are a lot of identity theft protection services out there. But before you cough up the cash for one, what questions do you need to ask to make sure you know what you're getting? To find out, I'm joined now by WSJ contributor Cheryl Winnegar-Monk. Hi, Cheryl. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Cheryl, just to get us started, what kind of impact can identity theft have on your finances?
It can really have a crippling effect. It's like account takeover. It completely can take over who you are and your ability to pay for things and get good credit, to rent an apartment, to buy a car with good rates, to get a mortgage with good rates. It's really sad the effects that identity theft can have on people's credit.
Okay, so let's talk about some ways that you can protect yourself. Generally speaking, what kinds of services are out there?
The types of things that a paid service could offer would be credit monitoring of your bank accounts, social security number, social media, court records, and the dark web. And the dark web is information that's not accessible by normal internet browsers. There are a number of these companies that offer these services. Sometimes it's a bank. The credit bureaus offer them themselves. There are also insurance companies who offer them. They're really a host of services. So you really just have to do your due diligence.
Now, some of these services could cost extra, but let's talk about the free options first. Who offers them and what do they say they'll do for you?
Free credit monitoring services. A lot of times a bank might offer this on an opt-in basis. Sometimes even there are settlements that have happened because of some major breaches and they're offering free credit monitoring for a certain period of time. You just have to see what these services offer. Sometimes these services only will include one credit agency. Sometimes they will have other protective services. You really just have to see what services they're offering. Oftentimes, these free services will not offer as comprehensive services as some of the paid services do, but that may not be the case. So you just really have to do your due diligence.
Are there other things you can do yourself without having to pay?
Well, one of the things you can do that's fairly simple but a lot of people don't like to do is freeze your credit or your children's credit, which is also really important to prevent unauthorized use. It's not that hard to do. You just have to go to the three major credit bureaus, and there is a little bit of red tape you have to go through. Sometimes you have to send something in the mail. Sometimes you can do it directly online. It kind of depends on the circumstances, but some people don't really want to deal with this, especially if they're going to be applying for a new credit card or applying for a mortgage or sometime soon, because it means effectively you have to unfreeze your credit before you can do this again. So there are some hassles associated with it.
All right, so how are the paid options different? What kinds of extra protections do you get?
one of the sources I spoke to talked about credit monitoring like housekeeping. And I just thought that was such a great analogy because people generally can clean their own houses, but some don't have the time, don't enjoy doing it, and can afford not to. And that's really what you might want to think about when it comes to credit monitoring. It's not that you can't do it on your own, but the question is are you going to, do you want to put that time in to do it? So assuming that you are going to pay for it, you've decided that it really is worth it to pay for it because you've done your other research and either the paid services are giving more than a free service can offer, or you're not willing to put in the time to do it, a lot of times these services will pay for monitoring to make sure, for example, no one's using your bank accounts. But it also depends on the information you're willing to put in, willing to give them. Sometimes they'll monitor your driver's license number or court records or email or home phone number or cell phone. Credit cards you can even usually put in there to have them monitor the use of them to make sure that these numbers aren't being used in ways that you don't want them to be used. The other thing that sometimes these places will offer is either insurance if you do have a breach, or they'll also offer restoration services that help you recover in the event of a breach. There's a broad area of what's considered restoration services, but it really is going to depend on the provider that you work with as to what they offer.
And how much will those extra features end up costing you?
Again, it really depends. I mean, there's a wide range of what these services cost. You might expect to pay anywhere from $7 to $35 a month, and that's going to really depend on the plan and the features you choose. So, you know, some may offer very similar monthly or yearly fees. Some may be very different. Some may cover you for only one credit bureau. One may cover for all three of the major bureaus. Some include a family plan. There are just so many different kinds of services. When you're looking at these different services, it's not just cost. Cost is an issue, don't get me wrong. But you really want to think about the provider's reputation, how many people are included in the plan, and how the paid service differs from free services that may be available. So I really want to stress that because, again, it's not that you shouldn't pay for these services. I'm not saying that. I just want consumers to know that they shouldn't feel they have to pay for these. You can pay for them and they can be actually very helpful. But people should also know that they do have free options if they're willing to avail themselves of them.
So what other kinds of questions should consumers be asking before they go for one of the paid services? How else can they comparison shop to see if they're worth it?
You're really going to want to find the scope of information that's being monitored. What information are they looking at? Are they offering dark web monitoring? Do they track your social security number? Do they look at your bank accounts? Do they look at your credit cards? Do they track your driver's license? If you're a homeowner, is there home title monitoring? What about change of address monitoring? That's a big issue, actually, because thieves can actually go in and change your address and have your mail routed to a different place, and then you wouldn't be getting your bills and they could open up credit cards in your name and you wouldn't even know about it because it's not coming to your physical address anymore.
All right, that's WSJ contributor Cheryl Winokur-Monk. Cheryl, thanks for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm Trinae Nuri for The Wall Street Journal.
This episode is brought to you by Coinbase Institutional, the first choice of sophisticated investors and institutions that want to invest in crypto assets. As the only publicly traded company with experience trading and custodying digital assets at scale, over 11,000 clients use Coinbase products like Prime and Exchange. Coinbase also recently announced that they're on the path to launching derivatives. Invest in the most trusted name in crypto. Learn more at coinbase.com/institutional.